Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, my name's Victoria Atkin and I'm talking to Chris Gordon of Hellblazer Biz.
Welcome to Hellblazer.biz with Chris Gordon. Imagine a world where you could have your questions asked to the stars of TV and film and hear them respond in exclusive, candid interviews. Well, you don't have to imagine. Sit back, tune in, and enjoy.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, my lovely audience, wherever you are in the world right now. Welcome to Hellblazer Biz, the show where you get to have your questions answered by your favourite TV and film stars. Hellblazer Biz is brought to you along with the BS Podcast Network and the Britpod scene. So get yourselves onto them and start listening to the amazing podcasts out there. You'll have to forgive my voice, I've got a bit of laryngitis, so I might sound a bit more croaky, you might find it a bit more sexy. I find it disgusting. But we'll see. We'll put up with it. It won't be for long. This is actually going to be introducing an interview I held last week, so you won't have to listen to this voice for much longer. I've got to ask, if you love Hellblazer Biz, would you be able to keep the show alive by becoming a patron? For as little as $1 a month, you can be part of the show. Find out more at https://patron.podbean.com. It's /Hellblazer Biz. Or click on the Become a Patron link on hellblazerbiz.com. And thank you for being a part of the show. The guest I bring to you today is no stranger to screen. She's an English actress who lives currently in LA and in 2015 named International Star You Should Know by Variety magazine. She basically landed her first major TV appearance and series regular role 6 months after graduating from her drama college, where she was in the absolutely huge hit of the UK, Hollyoaks, where she played Jason Costello and Jasmine Costello, basically a transgender character. And it was fascinating because at the time when she played it, it was a taboo subject. It wasn't really heard of. So absolutely fantastic. And 6 months out of coming out of college, amazing. We'll be hearing more of that later. She's more commonly known, I think, to a lot of gaming fans out there because last year the new Assassin's Creed Syndicate came out and this lady plays Evie Fry, one of the two Fry twins, and the heroine of the saga and basically the first female assassin in the Assassin's Creed genre. So without further ado, I am very, very privileged to bring to you Miss Victoria Atkin.
I'm very well, thank you, Chris. Yeah, it's funny to comprehend millions. You can't really think about that. But that's great, yeah. Yes.
I guess it is this way, isn't it? Because, I mean, when you're doing an acting role and things like that, then you've got the TV series or you've got a film and things like that. You know, you can see it going out. But with games, it's slightly different because you haven't got that. It's not as physical for people to actually
see. Yeah, it's like a hidden audience.
It is. But it's a huge audience.
Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic. You just don't comprehend the exposure of it, but it's, well, you do on social media and these sorts of things and comic cons, but yeah, it's great.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I say whenever I'm tweeting out and you're obviously kind enough to tweet out and everything for me asking for the questions to be sent in, that's when I realise as well how big a fan base these things are, because my inbox suddenly just went mad.
Well, that's good.
Which is good.
I'm happy to hear everybody contributed. I like that. No, I have very loyal followers and fans. I'm very grateful.
Oh yeah, they are. They're brilliant. They're really nice. And I've been sort of getting to know a few of them as well as I've been taking questions in. So we'll start off with a few questions of my own, and then we'll sort of roll it in. I'll try and I've got a couple here which I can miss out because I know we are a bit more time pressured, so I'll get rid of mine, and I'll make sure everyone, all the people who sent them in, can get them answered then. I think that'll be nice and fair.
Yeah.
So first of all, is can you tell me how you became an actress? When was it that you decided that this was a vocation you wanted to do?
I actually think there was nothing else I ever really wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I've been very lucky, you know. As a child, I would put on shows for anybody that would watch them, and always, you know, always just geared all my education towards it. I did drama GCSE, and I did performing arts A level and drama A level, and then I did a undergraduate degree in performing arts. So I became obsessed with the idea, and it just, you know, persistence, and I ended up thankfully being able to create a career out of it. But I was always, and I was named after an actress. Everybody thinks it probably is Queen Victoria, but I was named after an American actress, Victoria Principal from Dallas.
Oh, okay.
So maybe it was already written that I was going to be an actress before I even arrived. Yeah. I don't know.
Written in the stars.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. I say it's nice to see you. You know, you're still there doing what you wanted to do all throughout your life. So.
Yeah, I kind of got fixated on the idea, and that generally happens if I make my mind up.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I'll focus on something and it will be done.
Yeah.
Excellent. Your break, I'd say, into TV, am I right in saying that was with Hollyoaks?
Yes, you're correct. Yeah, I left drama school, and so after I did my undergraduate, I went to Central School of Speech and Drama, and left drama school in 2009. And thankfully, 6 months later, even though it felt like a lifetime of auditioning and things, it was literally only 6 months later that I booked Hollyoaks and was on the show for 2 years. Wow. So it was fantastic. I mean, what a baptism of fire playing the character that I played.
I was going to mention that as well.
It's, yeah, you know, and being in front of a camera for the first time. I mean, I'm fully theatre trained, so that was interesting to understand that there's a camera in front of my face now. How do you adapt to that? But it's, I guess, acting is acting.
But there are, like you say, I mean, from the experiences that I've had talking to people, and they're extremely limited. I did an independent film last year. I had about 20 lines in a film which will be coming out this year,
cool.
Actually, and I did 30 years, and too many years ago to remember because I'm too old, which I'd love to do. But there is a difference there. But regarding Hollyoaks, though, you're right, you mentioned your character, and I mean, that was groundbreaking at the time because you were originally Jasmine and then became Jason. So it's basically the first ever character in Hollyoaks, at least, to experience gender dysphoria. So how did you prepare? That was a hell of a role to come out of college for.
I know, what was I thinking? I don't know. Like you say, it was very groundbreaking. I always, I don't know, but as a person, I just like to be able to make change through my art or through what I'm doing, and or provoke it, or at least point some new thought and new perspective towards things through the characters that I create. So this was just wonderful, and was able to do that and educate myself and my close friends and family, as well as educating everybody that watched the show on what gender dysphoria is, what a transgendered person, and really just, educating myself and others about that was just really rewarding. And obviously being able to be on set every day and creating this wonderful character that, you know, I've been so lucky to have played, was just a privilege and an honour.
Excellent. I mean, yeah, it is, and you're right, because especially when you're in a show, I mean, Hollyoaks, for people who might not know in the States or anything, is a massive show in the UK, especially for the younger people. So you, to play a role model, I would say, you know, in that sort of respect, and to know that your audience will be looking to you as that sort of a role model, see how the behaviour happens and base their own lives and sort of work their own lives based on your...
Yeah, I think for the first time, transgendered teenagers had never seen, you know, somebody that they resonated with being portrayed on television. And I think that was the really, you know, to be able to have that visual reference to say, this is how I feel, Mom, or this is how I feel, Dad, or the friends that are experiencing, you know, a friend that was going through that or transitioning, you know, to say, this is the frame of reference, Jasmine, Jason, okay, I understand what you mean now. You know, just to have that was really, seemed to be very, very helpful and helped We also signed a memorandum of understanding with Channel 4 executives, mm-hmm. so that trans people could be accurately portrayed in the media from that moment forward. That really was groundbreaking in television at the time.
Definitely. And like you're saying, so this is the role just came out of your acting college straight into a role like that and became a role model for countless people. And even had that done. So that's pretty good going to start off.
Yeah, not bad start. Came out of the gate quite well.
Yeah, you did. you say theatre trained as well. How long?
Yes.
What theatre have you done? Have you done any?
Well, I would love to have done it, but I trained in theatre. We were doing plays, and I continuously try and pick up plays and read those and study mm-hmm. those. It's just an interest of mine. I'm very interested in the craft of acting. I've been very fortunate to continuously work, and majority of my work has been in television, mm-hmm. film, and motion capture. So yeah. I would love to do a play, but it hasn't been on my horizon as of yet. But I imagine it won't be long before I do something like that.
Excellent. And obviously you said, yeah, moving on nicely to the next question. Now, you said obviously a lot of your work has been voiceover and motion capture.
Mm.
How did that role come about?
So Evie Fry came about through my manager at the time. She said, I have an audition for you. And I'd set a goal the year before. I said, mm-hmm. I want to be the next action heroine. Okay. I said, that's what I want to do. I want to combine all my skills in sport, and I want to run around, and I want to use those skills, and I want to be the next Lara Croft. But not really, I didn't really think about video games. I just, it was, Wonder Woman-esque type thing.
Yeah, I get you.
And so I just said, yeah, that's what I want to do. And she said, well, this role's come up. Do you want to? And I said, well, video games, I'm not sure about that. Mm. and then she said, well, it's not just the voice. It's the full performance, facial capture. And I said, sounds interesting. So I did a self-tape. Yeah. Like I would for any other movie or TV job, and Ubisoft really liked it, and then they asked me to do it again because they originally asked me to do it in a Yorkshire accent, so it was going to sound like Ygritte from Game of Thrones, which would have been very different for Evie to talk like.
It would have
like
been,
that.
Yeah.
So they did that, and then they said, is Victoria able to do a London accent? Mm. And my manager said, well, maybe, we'll see what she can pull out of the bag. And so I did it in my own accent.
Yeah.
And sent it back, and they said, we really like you, Ubisoft really like you. We're looking at some other people as well, so we'll get back to you. And that was an agonizing wait. Then my mum came over for a holiday in LA, and they said, we need you in Quebec now. So I said, oh, okay, Mom. So I went and flew over to Quebec for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. I spent some time with the producers and did my final, my final individual audition.
Yeah.
And they said, this is for Assassin's Creed, and we really like you, and this is going to be the first major female playable character for the franchise. Mm-hmm. But you're going to be a twin, so we're still casting the brother. So I went back to LA thinking, well, I'm pretty much in here, but it depends on who they cast for the guy.
Yeah.
So they flew some people out to LA to meet with me. Mm-hmm. One of them was Paul.
Yep.
And so they decided on Paul and I, and we did some chemistry reads together. And then that was the end of 2015. Yeah. Then we started our rehearsals January 2016 and made the game throughout 2000. No, we must have made it throughout 2015. Well, anyway, it took like a year of our life to put that together. But it was great. It was really great. And was my first ever experience on the motion capture floor, which was just liberating and very fun.
Excellent. I mean, and again, I think people, when they think of voiceover work, they probably just think you stood behind a mic and doing this, that, and the other.
No.
And I know from talking to Matt about Edward Kenway, for example, and obviously I've heard you and Paul talking before, and so it's an immense amount of work. Like you say, you are physically fit, you're into sports, and bloody hell, you needed it for that.
Yeah, it was an endurance. And I mean, it wasn't even the fact, because we had a, I had a stunt woman, this wonderful French lady, did all the kind of fights, major fight stuff. But I did all the cinematics, and but even that, a lot of the endurance of bringing the cinematic cutscenes all together, it was, you know, you've got a helmet on and you've got mic packs all around your stomach, and you're in this kind of cat suit with dots all over it, and you're walking a lot, and it's a full day, and you're jumping off blocks and, you know, pretending you're jumping on trains and, you know, those sorts of things. So it's mainly the endurance and the physical stamina of it that was, for me, was the little test, because athletically, you know, short sprints of exercises is fantastic and is easy, but sustaining that and carrying the weight of the helmet on your head and neck and the mics around your waist was challenging at times, especially when you're tired and it's the end of the week.
Yeah, I can imagine it's it can be very long hours and strenuous. So.
But fun, more fun than strenuous.
Well, yeah, definitely. It looks, you know, I mean, I say it looks like you're having fun, but that's how they've drawn.
Paul and I had fun. I mean, I think anybody that's been to a Comic-Con and saw the banter between us is pretty real.
I was about to come to that in a minute. I was going to say that. I've seen that. I mean, I actually love playing as Evie. I've moved on to Syndicate quite recently, so I'm quite a newbie to Syndicate. I've been on it about a month in my spare time.
Well, welcome to the family.
Yeah, so I've only conquered Whitechapel, I think, and a bit of Lambeth. I only get an hour in an evening, so it's at the moment. So.
Yeah, that's exciting, though. I like it when people are just discovering the game, because there is so much. There's so much to the franchise, and I think that's what makes Assassin's Creed such a great brand, because you can take your time with it, and you can play it at your own speed, you know, and you can experience all these different environments.
Definitely.
And London really is quite a special one, especially if you're English and you
and you
walk around London a lot. You know, I was filming and working in London before, and it was fun to be like, oh, we have to imagine all these places, and they're going to be animated.
Yeah, it is.
I know where I am.
It is pretty cool, and I do love the fact that you can choose between. Obviously, Jacob's got the, as like his character's the full on brute, but Evie's got the brains, the cunning, and the sneakiness. and she's also got a cute wiggle in her walk as well, which is quite good.
yeah, I did that for a little bit.
So, I mean, obviously that's a huge thing. You're now playing the first real female lead in the Assassin's Creed anthology as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's got to be pretty good for you.
It felt good. It felt really good. And again, in a similar way to Hollyoaks, it was it's pretty groundbreaking to have this in a very male-orientated venue and arena of video games, and especially Assassin's Creed. I mean, some of the other games, as in Tomb Raider and those things, lend itself to a female lead, but this was really brave of Ubisoft to take this and bring a female character into this arena, and it seems to be a very, very successful. So I hope they continue that pattern. I know they haven't done that in Origins, the new brand new one, but hopefully in the future that they will bring that.
It's because it widens out as well. It, you know, I mean, there are lots and lots of female gamers out there, and it's good to have. You know, we're getting the quality everywhere, which is what we should be doing. So it's nice to see that coming into the games and seeing, you know, that, like you say, strong female leads being able to take those games over and having lads play, you know, and boys playing as the female.
I think men have really enjoyed playing as Evie. I mean, it's just a different variety for their gaming experience. And you know, it shouldn't be, you know, better or worse being a man or a woman in the game. It just adds variety,
exactly,
which I think is great, especially when there's, you know, the performance capture and the motion capture is performed by actors, and you just get that, those different nuances that you perhaps wouldn't get if it was just like the yin yang of anything, you know, female, male, you bring it together. And I think that's why Jacob and Evie really combined could make one of the best assassins together, you know, because you use the combined skills of both of them.
Definitely and it's just the words to can't describe it, how in-depth and cool a game it really is. And I say I'm starting out, and obviously all these people have been playing it since it came out and completed it and going back and replaying it again purely just because they love the characters. And also there's also that relationship you alluded to before. I mean, I've briefly had the pleasure of, it was a quick hello, like I've said before, at Wales Comic Con this year.
Yeah.
But I've met Paul before, and but everyone I've spoken to said they were in hysterics because of the antics and the chemistry that you and Paul actually have when you are together, and the fun scribbling and graffitiing over everyone's posters. And
Oh, yeah, I forgot we did that. Yeah, we just, yeah, attack each other's characters on the,
yeah,
on the posters. Yeah, it's quite funny.
Do you enjoy he that? Writes... Oh, sorry, carry on.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, he writes awful things, and then I try and top them, and
yep,
then people's post these people's posters. I mean, everybody seems to like it, but if it was my stuff, I'd be like, what have you done?
Yeah, you can't see the actual picture for the writings.
Well, we do, like, normally... horrible graphics on top of each other's heads or glasses,
mm-hmm,
or I don't know.
I've seen quite a few.
Yeah.
I take it. I mean, you obviously enjoy that fan interaction yourself as well.
Yeah, I love it. It's just nice to hear firsthand the experience of people playing the game. And you don't, I mean, you just really don't get that with TV and film. You know, people will say, oh, I watched your character, whatever, but they spent hours, you know, isolated with your voice and your performance. Mm-hmm. Individually,
yeah,
and it's a very unique, you know, with TV and film, there's always a lot of ensemble work, and
yeah,
you know, you watch it once and that's it. It's especially TV. I mean, nobody rewatches episodes of Hollyoaks more than the repeat, you know.
Yeah.
So it's great. It's just hours of them being able to experience it, and I like the feedback of, oh, I love that bit, or this bit was funny, and it's just great to see that you know, what you did,
yeah,
in a padded cell by yourselves is actually resonating and coming through, because you just don't know that. I mean, you, with theatre, you get the audience reaction immediately,
mm-hmm,
and even TV, you know, as soon as it airs, you get that
yeah,
reaction. But with gaming, people are coming to it, you know, like you say, some people are just experiencing it now, and mm-hmm, there'll be people that are still playing the other games that don't get to syndicate for another couple of years.
Yeah, exactly.
So
this is like a
yeah,
continual experience of being introduced. And you are right, because there is much more of an intimacy with the characters, because you can be sitting there for hours and days and weeks on end, you know, focused purely on the character that you play. So they do sort of in a respect they build a bond with the character as well. So yeah, and some of the, you know, you can see that across in cosplays and everything like that come across, which are fantastic as well. I love to see those.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Some brilliant Assassins ones. Cool. So I shall move on to some questions from the people who've sent them in. There's
sure,
been quite a lot. Very kind of them all, and to flood my notifications.
Yeah, well,
which is always a welcome sight.
We'll have to talk a bit about my new show as well. I think there'll probably
yes,
be some questions about that.
Yep, I shall put that back on. Where? Give me a second. That's extinct, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. We'll talk about that now then, before I move on to these questions. So,
yeah, well, yeah. I didn't know if they were going to be in the questions. So.
No, I didn't. They're all Assassin's Creed, to be honest. You've hit your gamers
well,
ones.
No, let's answer everyone's questions.
Yeah, and then we'll talk about extinct
talk about
at the end. Yeah, no worries. Okay, so first one is Lauren Corelli, and she would just like to know if you would join her gang, the Blue Tits, which she created. Apparently Paul joined up.
Well, of course Paul is a Blue Tits gang member. I
yep,
mean, that's just that's going to be standard. Yeah, of course, Lauren, I'll join too. Why not? I feel like we need to keep Paul in order in the Blue Tits gang. That sounds like it would get out of hand.
Yeah, yeah. You can just see it happening, can't you? Anouk, I apologise to anyone whose name I mispronounce here. I'm sorry. Anouk Vignette Lapierre. If a cartoon or an anime of Syndicate is made, or even if a sequel to Syndicate is made one day, would you reprise your role as Evie?
I would be honoured to. Yes, I wouldn't want anybody else to do it.
Fair enough. Good answer. I don't think anyone else could play Evie.
No, it would be fun. I love her. I mean, it's such a joy to play her. She's a fun character. And yeah, it would be a privilege to be part of anything that's a sequel to this, and particularly animation. I'm really enjoying animation voiceover at the moment.
Fantastic. Another question from Anouk is, do you think that Evie already knew about Jacob's partnership with Maxwell Roth?
I don't even know. No, I don't think she did. I honestly don't think Jacob knows about it too much either. But no, I don't think she knew about that. And I don't know what she would describe. I think she'd probably be supportive if he wanted to discuss it. Mm-hmm. I think that would be an interesting thing. But I think with Jacob, he seems to kind of brush all that under the carpet too, and it's an interesting experience for him as a character.
All right, okay, excellent, thank you. Awaif, A-O-I-F-E, apologies again, that's the Twitter name, is, what's your favourite pastime?
My favourite pastime? I have many. Most of them include sports or physical outdoor activities.
Mm-hmm.
But I love spending time with my family. I also like to meditate.
Okay.
And I read a lot. I like to read.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of Eevee things.
Cool, nice one. Harry Reuter, I think this is from Instagram. What was your favourite moment in the Assassin's Creed Syndicate story?
Oh, that's a good question. There's many moments. I mean, I really love the flower sequence. I'm being such a girl now, but there's a sweet flower sequence between Evie and Henry.
Uh-huh.
And those scenes were fun to do with Jazz. That was cute. I love the stuff with Clara when you help the children free them from I think it's Lambeth. Mm-hmm. You help the child workers. I also love the bit with Starrick in the final sequence. Final boss fight, and the dance, all the stuff with Queen Victoria, that's fun too. Separate side missions, so those are some of my favourite moments.
Alright, cool, sorry, I apologise. Neve Y175 also asked that question, so I'll make sure she gets her name there as well. Okay, next one is Devanjos Daz. Did Evie Fry marry Henry Green?
Well, I guess so, but it's never actually revealed if they did, but mm-hmm. I think the Jack the Ripper DLC, when Evie comes back from India,
mm-hmm.
lends itself to saying that she'd moved there to be with Henry. But I don't know. I mean, that's kind of open to interpretation, but I imagine so. I imagine they have a family and she's in India.
Yeah.
And then she comes back. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Excellent.
I imagine so. I don't know. I had to do my 20 years of research in between the main game and the DLC, that's what I added in. But
yeah.
It's not actually.
It's not written
down.
Yeah. That's just your thoughts on it. No, that's good. That's great. Catassin's Creed. Some cracking names on Twitter.
Catassin's Creed.
Yeah.
I love it.
Says, I know you've voiced Evie Fry, obviously, who's an amazing, beautiful character and great female lead in a Syndicate, but curious to know if you play video games yourself, and if you are a gamer, what kind of games do you play?
Well, I did grow up playing video games. I had a PlayStation and PC, which I used to play games on.
Yeah.
Then I took a long break, and actually, since I've been back in the Assassin's Creed arena, I've been working on a few video games, and it's really my latest game. I'm in the new version of Horizon Zero Dawn,
mm-hmm.
and that game is something that I really, really want to play.
Yeah.
The visual effects of it, and the female lead, and Ashley Birch, who plays Aloy.
Yeah.
It gets me really excited. So. I'm not currently playing any games because I've been making some mm-hmm. new ones, but I would really like to get that and start playing that.
Yeah, I mean, I've got it. It's a brilliant game. I actually work with quite a few people whose names are in the credits for that game.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, I've only got 2 weeks left, but I'm currently with Sony PlayStation myself, and that was the big game for the last 6 months that they've been,
Well, they just announced at E3... Horizon Zero Dawn. I think it's called the Wild Things.
Yeah, I think so.
It's the DLC pack. So I've been back on my motion capture suit performing a new character for that.
Yeah, I've got a question about that later for Kia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's fun.
Yeah,
fun game.
It is definitely, and you know, like again, it's a female lead character, but you don't even care because it's just an amazing game. Very different. Yeah. Very. Yeah, surreal, but great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent. Aurelie is asking, if you could do another Assassin's Creed game, which era would you like to explore?
Well, I would like to do, like, India at any period during India.
Okay.
I think it would be really cool to delve into, like, the spiritual-esque and mysticism and yogis and that kind of thing with the Assassin's Creed brand. you know, so she can uncover more artifacts and pieces of Eden for in India. I think it would make for a fun game. I don't know. So that would be my answer to that.
Cool. Well, there's definitely some eras out there which I could think of which would definitely lend to good storylines.
I think the World War stuff as well is cool. Like, they did it a little bit with Lydia Fry in ours, with Winston Churchill and that.
Yeah.
It would be quite cool if they could expand on that.
Well, yeah, definitely. You can have, Assassin and Templar backstories in World War II and World War I.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe it's kind of too current at the moment. Not that it's current, but it's...
I know what you mean, yeah. It's quite
memories. It's quite far in the future, yeah. Compared to what they've done in the other games.
Definitely, yeah. It'd be good, though. It's getting to the era now we can do stuff like that. Okay, moving on to Shane O'Loughlin, as I got beeped there. Do you have any personal insights or thoughts about how Jack the Ripper affected Evie's personal view of the Creed in her later years?
Personal view of Jack the Ripper and the Creed. I think when she returns to London, and if anybody's played the Jack the Ripper DLC, we'll realise that it really is a darker version of the game, and there's an underlying fear, I think, from Evie to have realised that things are definitely out of control.
Yeah.
You know, the things when she was there were... And they were fixing things and making things better.
Mm.
But it looks, when you come back to this and Jacob's missing, and it really has this very kind of creepy underbelly of something really terrible is happening now. And this is a lot worse than what it was. And I think she, in a way, feels a little bit guilty for leaving her brother there. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, that's another era, which is a great one for all the game to explore and to sort of bring to life and show. I've not got that one yet, so I can't from personal experience say what it's like.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
Really is a different feel to it. It's a shorter game, of course, but it has this depth to it that's interesting to play.
Yeah, definitely, and I can imagine, especially Jack the Ripper, it's obviously a very big legend. Horror
legend, scary one. Yeah, get it out for Halloween.
Yeah. Might do, actually. I'll be living in London by then, so I can walk.
There you go. walk through Whitechapel.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll walk the streets of Whitechapel at night and get myself arrested.
Yeah, maybe don't play the game at the same time as doing that.
Yeah, not a good idea.
A little bit too much.
Excellent. Henry23 Green, that's his username. First question was, did you like the character of Evie Fry? But we've kind of established you did.
Of course, yeah.
As Henry Green represented India, what did you come to know about India?
What did I come to know? Well, I don't think Henry really reveals that much about India in the game. Personally, as Victoria, I'm starting to learn a lot more about India.
Uh-huh.
Like I said earlier, I really like meditation and yoga and those sorts of things, so... India is something that's always just making me curious to know more about. So I don't think Henry reveals that much about India. I wish he did. It would be great to have that. That addition to the game. But there's not. I don't think I learned much about India from the game, but from my own life practices, I'm learning more and more about India.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. There's lots of nice spiritual and. Self-healing comes out of India, and knowledge. Good to learn. Kim Beecham, this is one I was mentioning before. She came to Wales Comic Con. She did an absolutely brilliant Fry twin cosplay. She did, yeah. It was ace. Half was Evie, half was Jacob. That was awesome.
I think Paul kept calling her chips and salad or something. I don't know what that was about. I don't really know what that's all about. But she looked great. She's really supportive of the Assassin's Creed brand. And she's wonderful and great fun cosplay that was.
she's asking about the Horizon Zero Dawn. How does it feel getting back into that motion capture suit for it? And can you tell us about your role?
I love it.
Yeah, is there anything much more you can say about your role yet? I mean...
I don't think I'm allowed to talk about the character.
Fair enough.
Obviously, you know, Aloy's still leading the game, so it's not a bigger role as I did in Assassin's Creed, but yeah. It's a supportive role to the new narrative for the next game.
Okay.
And we'll see where it goes from there. I don't know, really, to be honest, is the actual answer. They're still developing.
Yeah, it does.
Developing it all the time. So the work that I've done so far has been really quite fun. And just working with Ashley Birch, who's just, she's fun. She's so great, extremely talented as Aloy. Mm-hmm. And learning more, you know, Assassin's Creed was the first video game that I did. I mean,
yeah,
I was so lucky, you know, to get that lead role and
mm-hmm.
and to do that. I'd never done anything before. I'd never been in a motion capture suit. So I'm still learning. Obviously, I had a great training for yeah. that, which most people don't have the privilege of doing first thing for a motion capture. So,
yeah,
it was nice. It was great to get back in it. I love it. I just love that there's no props or costume. You don't have to sit for hours in makeup.
Yeah,
and you just get up and play, and that's really what I live for. I mean, I'm just a big kid, really. So any excuse to do that, and when you get paid to do it, it's even better.
Oh yeah, exactly. Bonus. Excellent. Mrs. Fry, who's at RazzyDev on Twitter.
Hi.
She said, "Which one would you choose? The hidden blade, throwing knives, or poison darts?"
Depends on what mood I'm in each day, and who on.
Yeah.
I kind of like the idea of the poison dart. It's kind of deadly but silent, mm-hmm. very Eevee.
Yeah, yeah. I think that would very much an Eevee type, because she is the sneaky one, whereas Paul and Jacob would just come trundling in with his big fists blazing.
Yeah, the poison dart's silent, just. And
yeah,
quick.
All
and
done.
Poison.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, cool. Depends who it is, though. Like you say, for someone you don't like, it'll have to be nasty and slow and and very loud and very violent. Sorry, I didn't say that. my inner self coming out, sorry. Cool. The last question that was sent in is from BB Sketches on Tumblr, and she was just saying, "What do you think Evie's first impression of you would be?"
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know. I hope she'd like me. I'm probably a bit of a baby in comparison to Evie. She'd probably get me to man up a bit. I don't know. I'd hope we'd be friends. That would be fun. Hope she could show me around London and I could show her. She could show me all the old stuff. I could show her all the new stuff.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Evie takes you around Victorian London, you take her around modern. I think she'd get on. You see, you're a fun person.
Yeah, I think we'd be alright. We've got a few things in common.
Exactly. Hopefully not walking around throwing knives at people. But
yeah, I mean, we don't have that, but we do have a very similar voice.
Yeah. Uncanny, that, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and facial expressions and body movement.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure I do add that hip thing that you were talking about in my day-to-day life. Maybe I should add it a bit more to my walk.
I suddenly noticed it last night. I was like, I'm going to have to speak to that to Victoria.
I did add it because I was like, well, if you've got a woman in the game, you know, she's not overly sexualized and I don't want her to be, but she's got to have a little sass. And I also wore heels for the whole motion capture suit. I managed to ask them if I could wear them rather than the trainers that they give you.
Okay.
I said I want her to have that, you know, that heel boot that she's going to be animated wearing, and the only way to actually get that in the motion and to write that to the animation is to actually wear them, and because it does make your hips when you wear heels. You probably know that already, Chris. But
yeah, I'm 42, you're a bloke. I've noticed that
when you wear your heels.
Yeah, Saturday night special.
Yeah. So you know all about that stuff. So it was important that I wore them for that. And yeah, it added some nice animated hip movement.
Excellent. That's great. And it works really well. And like you say, it's not an over-sexualised character either, which is another good thing. Because, you know, that's something else. You know, you're objectification of women. That seems to be going as well now because it's making them more...
Yeah, I mean, it's just not... I just don't think it's really important anymore. I mean, it's just playing equally, and I think that's all it's really about.
Exactly. It doesn't, yeah. No matter who you are, what you are, you just play.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Cool. So, sorry, last one. Is there anything that you'd like to say to the people who are listening, just as a part, as a, before I stop the recording?
Oh yeah. The well, thank you so much for your question. It was really cool, and I hope that you'll continue to enjoy Syndicate if you haven't played it or you're still playing it. And my other thing would be to I'm excited for Horizon Zero Dawn, so keep keep an eye out for my updates on that. And also Extinct.
Yes,
if you yeah, I'm doing this new TV show. It's from the guys that wrote Ender's Game. And it stars Chad Michael Collins, who was in the Sniper franchises, done Once Upon a Time, and York Fryer and myself are the three reborns that get reborn 400 years in the future. So humans have been extinct, and they're bringing them back.
All right, okay.
So it's a new premise from the guys that wrote Ender's Game. And it's going to be out October 1st, and you can watch it for free on any device that you can download an app. So the app is BYU TV, and you can download that now for free, and it will air 1st of October. So it's hour-long scripted series. And, yeah, there's going to be 10 episodes of that. So I'm excited for everybody to tune into that, and it's nice to get back onto live action and television again.
It does sound a great premise as well, because your character's Fina, isn't it?
Yeah, I play Serafina, who's called Fina for short, and she is a hacker. In her previous existence, she was a hacker, and we see when she's reborn how she uses those skills to help humanity. So she becomes very poignant in helping fix the drones that communicate with us.
Yeah.
And it's very technical. So cross between Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and Orange is the New Black and Jessica Jones type S character.
Okay. Okay.
And yeah.
You got me hooked.
Yeah, it should be good. And if anybody hasn't watched the trailer, go to www.extinct.tv and you can watch the trailer there and learn about the rest of the characters.
Fantastic. In that case, I shall tweet that link out as well, and I shall get watching that in a minute.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, and thanks for all the questions today. It's been really cool, and again, just for all the support that I get, and for everybody that's taken the time to listen to this podcast, I hope it was informative and entertaining.
Thank you once again, Victoria. That was absolutely fantastic. I appreciate you talking to me, and I appreciate you giving all those answers. And everyone who sent their questions in, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time for taking the time to send me questions to ask Victoria. I hope you all enjoyed that. I hope those who did get the questions asked got the answers they were looking for. This has been Chris Gordon with Laryngitis on Hellblazer Biz. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you next time.